And John 8, we get the picture first there of the adulterous woman and the conspiracy against the Lord. And I've always felt that when Jesus was writing on the ground, he was contending for the trial. I don't think that the Son of God and his growth rate was just always in the magic. I think he had to be in contact with the Father because he said so. I don't do anything. And then he said an outlandish thing at the end of it when all the guys were shamed by the comment, if you didn't commit any sin, then go ahead, you stone. Because the law was absolute. Adultery, you died, period. There wasn't any discussion or trial. And so Jesus cut right through the law and showed mercy. And he's done the same for you and for me, no question. But the major thing there is something that is frightening. It's a question and a statement at the same time. And it envelops you and me in something that is, we've costumed theater our way or been embarrassed because Jesus says this. And it's frightening because we've not been able to fully come to the kind of truth that he's talking about, because he said, you'll know the truth and it will set you free. Now, we know the truth. Would you say that's fair?
Yes.
Okay. The next question is, are you free? And I would have to say, that looks like a foggy day in the beach. It's not as clear. And when he also looked at him, he said to them, and this was truth, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Now, I read that the other morning and I thought, well, how many times have I allowed the devil to script me in thought or verbiage? Because of the immutability of God, I'm free, but if it doesn't bother me, then his mercy and forgiveness doesn't have any meaning. Because the most significant thing for you and me is our response to God's crediting us with that which we can't earn. The mercy of God and his great love. The most powerful thing about God is his great love and mercy and kindness to us. But I'd have to say, I've heard this among us, and we're here today, and we can make it another rerun through habit. Now, here we are again, let's sing a song, let's sing a good one, let's go, blah, 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 blah. But until you absolutely, until I am absolutely and the understanding that I have an arsenal of help by the Spirit that God's given me. And I don't have to go on pretending, because John said a lot of things when he was 90. He said, if you don't love your brother, you're a liar. So we're liars come from the father of lies, Satan himself. So let's do some business here today. It's been a great time to have Vicki healed like that. And some of the episodes leading up to it, she gave a short testimony on how good the God was. And he's that way to you. Put yourself in the pages of current history, because you belong there. You didn't put yourself there. You didn't ask for it. But here you are. Are we going to make any history? Only God knows. But we sure won't make it by the merry-go-round of everything we've been doing and doing and doing. It's a wonderful new day. And people come and go, and nobody's, you know, saying, where are you going? We got to have words, we got to have this. Hopefully we're beyond it. And in many, many instances, we're not. And I said to Vicki, because she had tickets to go east, and I said, you're not going east until you get clearance. I said, I'll start a fire with my verbiage. And she said, she was way ahead of me. She didn't need me, and I love that, when you're not needed. Don't you appreciate that with your kids, when they're way ahead of you? Sure. Well, Father, thank you for the Son of God who did a substitute work. God, allow us, be there with us. You don't coerce. You draw us by your great kindness. And so as we come before you today, help us to do serious business and not just same old, same old. And we know that you've been with us in so many areas. Touch every vessel tonight. Be with the children over there, the young people and all that they're doing. And the liberty that's there. But if we are free, help us to be cemented, bound, in a love relationship with the truth for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let's gather. Awesome. That's cool. Do it. Sit there where you are. Gather is here.
Just keep on our voice. don't want to inconvenience any of you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, it's true. I didn't see anybody, but we had a wonderful time there. The highlight, of course, for me was having Ariana come, and then Gabriel, Maria, and Madison driving over, and all being there together. That was nice. And the girls said, the three girls, I think, all said, "Wow, what a relief to be in a normal service." They tried a bunch of services. And anyway, so we had a wonderful visit. It was short, but you know, it was a great visit. Anyway, one of the things I was impressed with while I was there was that, thinking about the scripture in Romans 8, where it says that the creation is subjected to vanity. And it was subjected to vanity and hope. And I thought about the how thoroughly God has subjected creation to vanity. He did a good job. He did a thorough job, and I thought, wow, he needs to be commended for that, because he, if we look through the ages, and I don't know if I said this, but I somehow got on to, I'm not a real history guy. I don't know what kind of guy I am, but I'm not a history guy, not a science guy. Okay, but anyway, I watched a brief little documentary about the dropping of the bombs in Japan, and that was an amazing devastation. The first one I know with Hiroshima was 70,000 people instantly in 2 square miles. That was instantly, and then. Later on, the Japanese were, though, they weren't going to quit.
Right.
It took a little more to get them to quit because of vanity. They were subjected to vanity. And so it was going to cost the United States 400,000 or 450,000 troops for the ground invasion. So they thought the bomb was better. Anyway, there's a lot of factors involved. And I think, oh, the awfulness of that devastation, but you look like 8 or 10 years earlier and you read about what the Japanese did to the Chinese. So then what happens is when you do that, it's really a mistake because you open a door to all these things that get flooded and whatever you look at, right? So now it was flooded with destruction. And if you look back, and I didn't go that far because I opened the page, it was Wikipedia. And I opened the page, and it kept scrolling of all the great destructions over the years of civilization, and what men do to men, and the body counts are just of a magnitude that, like, is incomprehensible. So much so that when you compared the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and 70,000 people instantly being killed, it was like nothing. You know, it was like a drop in the bucket in comparison to all the devastation that's gone century after century. So I was thinking about the thoroughness of God to subject the creation to vanity, but what I really want to say is it was in hope. And the hope is that you and I would make a discovery. And it'd be a contrasting picture for us that have been born from above. A contrasting picture of a source of life that comes out of man that ends up always in a path of destruction. And if you read the news now, you are struck with the weight and the tidal wave of futility of this and that and the other, and this might fix this and that fix that, and it's just like there's no way to get there. And what God was interested in, the hope is that you and I would awaken to also some other thorough thing that God has done. And the thorough thing that God has done, besides subject creation to vanity, is make a thorough provision of redemption, which is called Christ. And I don't want to discourage you. I would like to encourage you today, because destruction we know about, the things that come out of our mouths on a very small scale, you know, there is a path of destruction. And there is a path that you and I have all walked on that doesn't build up. It doesn't minister life in a circumstance. Brother Bill mentioned, that's one of my favorite stories. He talked about when Jesus was, the Pharisees brought the woman in adultery. What a picture of genius of Father God, because that was the source. The source of the Pharisees that they were under, the father of the devil, however we want to characterize it, out of the soul of man, out of humanity, is the only thing that it could bring was destruction. Death. Right? And the genius of Father God, so that little picture for us, he said, all right. And they all went out. And I thought, wow, the redemption of God to those wretched Pharisees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because how did they get convicted? How do you get convicted? By the Holy Ghost. How did they get convicted and file up one by one? By the Holy Ghost. God interfered, right? He broke into their Pharisaical way. He broke into vanity. And intersected them with a whole other source of life. He didn't condemn them either. And at the end, you know, he says, where are your accusers? And he said, Adam, there's not no one, Lord. He said, well, I'm not here to condemn you either. Go and sin no more. What do you think? Do you notice a difference? Do you notice the contrasting source of life? And you and I, of all people, those that have been born from above and filled with the Spirit and been inundated with the message and the revelation of what God's purpose is, and God bringing us together and finding out the painfulness of finding out the depth of our glue to the human soul, even though we've been born from above. Because that's what I found out, right? I mean, anybody else? Am I alone in that? I mean, the great message I've had about living with others.
Please.
Like, some days I can hardly live with myself. I don't even live with somebody else. And so God subjected all of creation, and you and I have been also subjected to vanity, but he's given us a provision that is so magnificent. And that's why he says in Revelation 21:5, and that's what I wanted to get to, behold, I make all things new. Well, besides Fabian, somebody else should have said, that's good. And the reason you must see the depth of destruction that can come out of your soul, and I know you have never dropped a bomb on Hiroshima. You have dropped a bomb, though, in the middle of the community. Okay. You have, even if you didn't say what you thought, you affected the atmosphere. I grew up watching TV, and so you see I'm in trouble. But yeah, see, that explained a lot. I think until we came to Claremont, when No, we didn't move there yet, but we came in contact with them, and they were, you know, extremists.
They didn't believe in TV. I didn't believe in TV either. I just had a lot of time on my hands as a kid.
But I used to watch Charlie Brown. I don't know if anybody watched Charlie Brown, yeah. But the older ones in the room probably did. And there was one guy, and he's called Pigpen. And I don't know, some of us, I just gotta say, we've been like that. We carried an atmosphere with us. You know what I mean? And I just gotta tell you, God says, I make all things new.
Right.
I make all things new. There is a provision of Christ. And I thought, even today, I wonder how many of us, it sinks in deep into our hearts that His mercies are new today. I have been so convinced of the old. And so married to the old. I got to get this new in my heart. Because it's not just new conceptually. It's what Romans 6 says. I'll read it. Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I mean, this is a reasonable argument, don't you think? Paul is making some reasonable points here. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. And so this is not just a concept. This is not just a revelation. This is where the tension is, that you and I would walk in newness of life. And this morning, mercy is new.
Right.
There's new mercy today for you and I, not to say amen again to the revelations, but rather to walk in newness of life. Because He promises to make all things new. And let me just say this about God. God is not subject to vanity. Men are. Creation is. As a matter of fact, there isn't any word that God speaks that returns empty. There's nothing that returns empty. And you and I don't see it right away. All things have been put in subjection, but now we don't yet see it that way. It's not in the visible realm, because God is doing something on the inside where you and I are convinced of the path of destruction that creation has been subjected to by being vaccinated however many times it takes, right? Have anybody ever wake up and you've said some stupid things or whatever you've done, you've had the same response that's old? There's nothing more depressing than just repetitive old. And I'm not talking about age. I'm just talking about... Yeah, I said that for you. I'm just talking about repetitive, habitual vanity. So God gives us, and I think I talked about Solomon, God gives us this tremendous example in the Bible of someone that he came to the heights of vanity. Like you and I. I've been low-level vanity, right? Not in God's eyes. It's no different. I'm just saying, he put an example in the Bible of Solomon that could, like, just think about this.
Yeah.
He could have anything he wanted at any time. Anything. So, he filled his coffers, right? And you can read about it. It's a tremendous story. The magnitude of what the guy did. You know, he just gave himself to it. And the conclusion, and God says, well, let me save you some time. I'm going to put the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament that you could read and maybe get a little help. with God, we can just read it and say, oh, I'm not going to do that. But he reached the heights of vanity where he could have anything he wanted, and his conclusion was it's all vanity. He came to the same simple conclusion that you and I have come to. That, man, I can think my own thoughts, I can have my own reactions, I can wallow in my own whatever. But boy, it's not that great. I'm miserable. Thank God we feel miserable sometimes. Because God wants that vaccination of vanity for us to be aware of, because he wants to show us, oh my gosh, the thoroughness of the new man, which is Christ. Right? So Paul says in Philippians 1. You know, let me say this before I go on. The new life, the new life, Christ, God tries it. Right? He tests it. You know, it says the new wine is found in the cluster. What a beautiful image that is. And if you go to Detroit Lakes, on the floor they have tile, I think, that is a big grape cluster. Yeah. And the image is tremendous. How about living together? What image? Do you get an image of grapes? Fresh, purple, new wine. I mean, we're a little bit thick. I am. Yeah, I'm trying to understate. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings today. We're a little thick, and we don't know what's going on when something is offensive to us. What's going on? The new life is being tried. Because God didn't make a fickle new life. He made a new life that has the power to work all the time. And that's an irritation to me. I know that conceptually. And I haven't walked in it to the degree of the provision. Right? That's where my lack, that's what bothers me. That's what bothers me about going to convention after convention. That's what bothers me about the messages. That's what bothers me about living with each other, because I have some mental understanding. Well, if you have to.
First of all, this thing of old, new, and many of you will not believe this because you've been indoctrinated, cemented, over and over and over by me, Dave Utters. That's the old man. When you were born again, the old man absolutely was gone. I don't care who says it or how much you see it in the Bible. When God says something is new, it's new. What you're doing and what I'm doing, when I am immature or I blow up or I'm jealous, or I say, well, I don't like that outfit. What I'm doing is moving into immaturity. I'm not in Christ. I'm in Christ, but I'm immature in Christ. You can't get out of Christ. And I know, many of you don't believe it. You've been indoctrinated. And, well, that's just the old man. When Jesus says you're new, you know, all things become new. They're new. And to live with that is very difficult. What's the end of it? What's the help? God, help me get out of the level of immaturity. I'm immature when I evaluate you on a natural plane. Every one of you, as I see you, should be better than I am. Do I do that? Absolutely not yet. I haven't come to the depth of it, but God keeps reminding me, these are yours. Old is gone in terms of your nature. That's why Christ came. to deliver him. And people who get up and say, well, I was just the old man. Don't listen. It's not that. It's immaturity.
Okay, so Paul says in Philippians 1, excuse me, because I want to emphasize the thoroughness of this new life. Paul says, he's talking about people preaching Christ out of contention, not sincerely. It's a good passage, and I'm not going to read it all, but he's not bothered by it. You know, and what it is, he's talking about something actually that he's walking in right now.
Right.
In his language. He says, so what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Right? He said, I'm not bothered, and therein I'm going to rejoice, and will rejoice. And he says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. What that little passage is a picture of Paul walking in the new life. Instead of saying, let's get rid of the wretched people that are in pretense. Habitual response to, I love the fact that I can't relate to a lot of the miracles that Jesus did. Right? Like, all of us have walked on water in the winter. None of us have quite crossed over into the summer months. But when he was asleep in the back of the boat, that kind of hits me at home, because when there's turmoil going on in my life, can I still be at peace? We heard about that this morning in the praise. When there's things going on, can there be a contrasting experience of the newness of life regardless of what's happening? That's what Paul gets to here. According to my, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That covers a lot. He said, in any situation, I mean, we could fill this in and maybe expand it a little, whatever is happening, however it's happening, whenever it's happening, wherever it's happening, by whom it's happening. Okay, is that all? Christ, my expectation is that Christ would be magnified. That should be my expectation today and yours. It's not just Paul's. Lord, Christ, I want Christ to be magnified. And I don't know what kind of a day is ahead of me. Somebody might say something that is contrary to what I think. I haven't been a big social guy. I mean, I'm forced into it now, because I go everywhere and I... Someone said to me, I got the greatest compliment of all times. I was in a car, and at the end of our time, we're in the car for 12 hours total. And I don't know, I can't remember what it was. Just recently. And we got back to their place, and they said, you are such a great conversationalist. I thought, wow, are they non-discerning? But I know why I don't want to be social. Because people say things that bother me. Yeah. And I don't want to look at anybody right now. But they have. And if you can even imagine that wonderful wife that I have, on
to occasion, she said something contrary to what I was feeling. I appreciate your prayer there. That it never happens again.
Oh, 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 oh.
She's already writing stuff down right now. I don't know, like, I don't know how your marriage is, but there are, you walk away sometimes from a conversation and you think you both heard the same conversation, but in truth, I might as well have been on a trip and she was someplace else, because we get back together and she says something and I said, that's not what happened, and she, yes it is, and I, you know what I mean, and then we just drop to our knees and just cramp and go on and get together. So Paul says, regardless of what's going on, my earnest expectation is that Christ would be magnified. You and I, sitting with us right here, is the provision for the greatest escape in the history of civilization. That we can escape the vanity that all of creation has been subjected to. Because there is a new man, Christ. And Christ is growing. And the earnest expectation, regardless of whether it's an offensive day or a non-offensive day or something in between, which most days are, Christ would be magnified right here. That you and I would actually exercise ourselves continually in the provision that is so thorough of walking in newness of life. I must be in a dialogue with my Heavenly Father to find out about that. It's a constant, because it's also a constant for me to understand what comes out of my soul. Because God wants to show you, oh, the contrast of vanity and of new life. And his purpose is to make all things new. You know, Jesus, before he went to the cross, he went to the Mount of Transfiguration. You can read about it in the Gospels. And it says that there was a vision, something happened, right? And Peter, James, and John were there. And they had a vision, and he was totally white. Like no natural ability could make white. No fuller, it says, could make it that white. He was so white. And I think what it was a picture of what was going on the inside. What was on the inside that God was doing with him during all those years, working so that the life was growing to a point where it had no more spot. Anybody still find spots? God's purpose is that you would come to the fullness of that. It's a picture for us that we open up and see what's going on in Jesus' life at that point, and it was without spot. And you say, well, he still had to contend in the garden. Yes, he did. His soul didn't go away. He did. But he said, the prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me. No jurisdiction. It seems to me that would be worth pursuit.
Amen.
That would be worth our pursuit. That would be worth a dialogue. Yeah. Wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yes.
For you set your son before us as an example, he's called the pattern son. Why? Because he was the firstborn with many brethren to follow, right? That's the point. And there's a beautiful promise somewhere in Jude. It says, I'll read it. I'm almost finished. 1:24. Now unto him that is able, that's a big word there, able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That is what you saw in the transfiguration. He was presenting his son faultless. And God says, or Jude says, Spirit says through Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless, present you fully new before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior. You know, that is an important adjective, only wise God. What kind of a God do you have? He's the only wise God. What does that mean? That means that he knows how to get you there. He knows how to present you faultless. He knows specifically what you have to have. I look at the things that offend you and I consider them silly. And I look at the things that offend me and consider them of a magnitude unimaginable. And I don't understand why no one else can see how awful that is. Hallelujah. Okay, so there's one more verse, and then I'm going to be all finished. It's in 2 Peter. And this is, I want to read the words of devils that talk to you and me. It doesn't say it's devils. It just says, really what it says is human souls, but at least that's what I think. It's in 2 Peter 3. Knowing this, verse 3, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All things are stuck. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire of judgment and perdition. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, a day is as a thousand years to the Lord, and a thousand years a day. The Lord is not slack concerning this promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that we should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thirteen. Nevertheless, well, it says, what manner of persons are you to be? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. An account. I don't want to read all these. I just want to get to it. Oh, 18. There it is. Couldn't find it. But grow in grace and in relationship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what's going on. Today, you got new mercy and you got a thorough provision of grace to walk in newness of life. Christ, that regardless of what goes on today, let your expectation be that Christ would be magnified. Amen.
I got I'm sitting there getting a picture of us, and David's always done a good job of talking about the difficulty and tossing the humor in, and we all felt like jerks. Thinking that we're something, we're nothing. And often you go to a place and they say, well, I was there, but there's no love. There's really not the kind of love there. And one of the great things about Sister Lee, she said, no matter where you go, you're not going to find the love that you're looking for. And you'll probably pollute the place you go to. It's if you could look around today and say, God, give me the understanding that we're all in intensive care and we're in a waiting line at times. There are doctors coming in there, and there are some people being hauled out. Some are going in for operations. But there's nobody in the room that isn't being dealt with. Now, one of my favorite lines is where David is caught, and the Lord said, "Well, you're not going to die." Yeah. And the prophet has said, "You're the man." And he knows that he had an adulterous relationship. He knew that he was responsible for the death of the husband. He knew how filthy that was because he had a walk, I believe, unquestionably with God. I believe he knew Christ in a mystical way when he committed adultery. I believe he knew Christ in a mystical way when he sent the brother off to war to die. I believe he hated himself because over and over he says, you have delivered me from the lowest hell. He says it. And he also says, if you make your bed in hell, God's there. How did he know that? How did he know the mercy unless he'd been there? Yeah. Folks, if you haven't been there, and you think that your time here is accruing a certain amount of points, and you're going to walk out of here, you know, in a few weeks just being wonderful, you're kidding yourself. Because until we understand, really, that every flaw, every circumstance, David said this today, it's worth thinking about. This idea of will present you faultless. When he called you, he called you into what he is going to do if you trust. I'm not faultless yet. But so don't leave here beating yourself to death. And this certainly isn't that kind of a word for it. But realize it's just not going to happen with attendance, time, and when you realize that you're in a love relationship with God, you cannot love somebody you don't know. You will know him as you offer. You will know him as you believe that growing in grace means no matter how many times you fall, you keep getting up. No matter how ugly this place is, and your ugliness can top the chart. I had terrible days in the early days saying, God, why did you do this to me? I don't like people. Why would you make me a shepherd? And I'm supposed to be somebody with the foundational stuff of this. Are you lying to me? When? And you've heard me say this, I'm going to put you to sleep, but you've been so horrific, though. God, I don't need this today. I don't need this today. And God finally, you know, made it clear. He let me be a spitting up, shaking my nipper. No matter if I was 50 or 60, a baby, spiritually a baby, with the acknowledgement and the understanding it was in some ways more vast than the church fathers of yesterday, which is a big, big contradiction, seemingly. Which the fact that you know you're sons of God, and we have people among us who've been with us for years, and they say, I'm not a son, I'm not a son. You bet you are, and you heard it today clearly. Flawless. Flawless. That's so growing grace, no matter what. And don't be hard on yourself because you feel like maybe you should be shot or gone. And if you haven't felt that way, I'll guarantee you, you will. You will. And when you think that the greatest aspect of power on the earth is what God has given you, and you have to learn here. You have to learn. I was saying the other day to someone, I heard mothers say, I think I said to Nancy Winger, I said, one of the I loved her the most. She came over, and Nancy Winger Porter, she was a porter, she said, I'm a child abuser. I hate my son. No. And I've known her since she was in the eighth grade. And I wanted to put my arms around her and say, honey, it's going to be all right. You're a good mother. She had nasty kids. She didn't have the ability to be a mother, and nobody does unless they go to God. Thank you, Father, for the word today. Thank you for Vicki. Thank you that every minute of the day you're attending to our sister Salvaggio and her plight. God, let us not have a day that we don't thank you, knowing that there's no such thing as death. And wherever we go today, we thank you that we have a God that is going to make us faultless. Are we there? No. We have the promise, we're called to it, and he won't let up. Thank you.